Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining. I don't know why I thought it was something other than Sunday, Robbie. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Clack.
That would be a little weird. That's a fun name to say,
though. It is, though. Imagine saying I'm from Clack.
I would love saying that.
It'd be awesome.
Mississippi.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
Did you see that I was one of the top interactions? I was number one for Shane for Strange Brew.
Yeah.
And he said that everybody on there gets either a free coffee or free ice cream.
Yeah.
I've petitioned for both.
You should get both. You're number one.
I think I should. If I'm first, I should get the spoils.
And you know what they say. You ain't first.
If you ain't first, you're last.
You're last.
The other 20 people on that list.
It was like 14th. I'm like.
That was my mentions for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I muted that.
But what about me, Gronk? I muted
the words top mutuals.
Like I didn't even know what it really was.
Yeah, I was just, I'm out. So
I didn't see any of that. Take, yeah. But
after like the third one, I was like, I'm done.
I'm not going to judge any of you that did.
If you said it's fine.
It's funny how things happen on the internet, and then everybody just jumps on the bandwagon.
Exactly.
I hope everybody jumps on the Stranger with Coffeehouse bandwagon.
The Thunder and Lightning bandwagon as well.
That would be nice.
If you're not here already.
Well, if they're listening now, I'm pretty sure they're here.
You never know. They might be iffy.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be iffy.
I think all of our folks are all in right now.
I hope so. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out, well, just go to one of our fantastic steakhouses around this great state of ours, and you can't go wrong at any of them. Our friend of the show, our friend Maria, texted me. I was telling you about this, that she had a friend from Brazil in town, and they grilled a picanha up, and that thing was beautiful. And she told me that they sell beef at the Starkville Farmers Market. I got to go check that out.
When you went to the international festival that's on campus, did you get the Brazilian beef that they had there?
I didn't see that.
Holy smokes.
God. See?
It was on like, if I'm not mistaken, it was on like some skewers or whatever.
Yeah, but still.
But it was that. So good.
All right, and I'll keep an eye out.
Next time you go there, get the Brazilian beef.
Beef. It's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two brothers. Nope. College Corner. I don't know.
I
got a problem today. I'm hungry and I've already eaten, and it's playing with my brain.
Uh oh.
So don't worry about that.
That sounds like my daughter today. Like she drinks a lot of her milk, and then afterwards she's still hungry.
Yeah.
And like, what do you do? Do you give her more milk, or I don't know.
Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you, milk's not food; it's a drink.
Well, it's for a child.
Makes you thirsty when you're thirsty, not hungry.
I mean, for a child, it's food. It's
okay.
Formula, it's sustenance. So.
Oh, you're talking about lady.
Well, yeah. You think I'm giving like my 6-year-old? Like all my 6-year-old gets is a bottle.
Daddy, I'm hungry. Yeah, Daddy, have a glass of.
You've already had your 6 ounces.
What you're talking
about? Sit down and be quiet.
You're talking about the baby.
I think she's talking about Becky. Becky, like that. All you get is this the tiny carton, little carton of milk that the kindergarten kids get. That's it.
So I was sitting here just picturing you telling Daddy she could only have milk. What's wrong with me? I'm telling you, something wrong with my brain today.
That's what happens at your house.
I wish.
Those kids, every woman for themselves there.
Father, can't I have a cookie? I haven't got scurvy today.
No.
You crooked child, get in the corner.
Go mow the yard.
Yeah, exactly.
Go drive me to Chicago. That's what you're doing.
I legitimately thought you were talking about Natty just getting a drink. College Corner Store.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are certainly looking for. You need new gear this upcoming season. Get it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flow by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Friend of the show texted me last night or messaged me last night. He's like, hey, now I've already gotten home. I've already eaten dinner at this point, right? But this was the closest I've been tempted to go eat a second dinner. He said he was at restaurant. He was actually at the guest room. But as you know, you can order the restaurant tele food. They had a special yesterday, a fried pork loin covered in brown gravy with boudin and crawfish over mashed potatoes.
Hey, is it okay to have brown gravy on that?
It is. It's okay to have brown gravy on anything.
Why is it okay to have?
We already had the discussion.
We have a fried piece of meat.
Yeah.
We put brown gravy on a lot of fried pieces of
absolutely.
Meat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Why is it okay to do on that, but on a country fried steak, it has to be the white gravy?
I'm going to let you know a secret. You ready? It's okay to do it. It's okay to put brown gravy on that.
Here's the thing, too. Whatever someone prefers to eat.
Do you want to real know the real? Do you want to know the real secret? Would you like to know the real secret here? Chicken fried steak gets white gravy. Country fried steak gets brown gravy.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. If you call it, what did they call it on the menu?
It was country fried steak.
It's brown gravy.
So I don't understand what the problem was.
People are stupid.
Okay. I didn't know the
fried steak
brown gravy on that.
Midnight.
Kind of communist is, well, the thing is, it's the exact opposite of communism, because everyone's free to eat literally whatever they want to here. So it's a free country. That's the great thing about America.
Yeah.
And brown gravy on country fried steak, by the way, is very good.
Yeah. Chicken fried steak, white gravy. Country fried steak, brown gravy. But regardless of that, if you want to eat white gravy on your country fried steak or brown gravy on your chicken fried steak, have at it. That's why this is America.
I know people that put, you know, ketchup in their spaghetti.
I know that some of these fools that are talking to us are putting ketchup on their filet so they can all shut up.
Yeah, like so. Jake Wimberly.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that guy in the ketchup. Don't start it.
He's all in.
I love Jake.
Did you see that, 100% you see that video of this guy? He's triggered everyone, and he put ketchup on Wagyu and cooked it.
Oh.
He lathered it in ketchup.
Oh.
This is one of the most like pristine pieces of meat that you can
I did
get.
See
Japanese
the other
Wagyu
day.
beef.
This guy had like a massive Wagyu tomahawk, and he cuts into it. He's like, oh, it's perfect. That thing has been killed twice.
Brown.
It was brown. I was like, no, it's like a $500 steak. You murdered
it. I was so upset the other night. We went to the steakhouse. Bone, by the way.
I was not upset at my steak.
That place.
You screwed up.
Well, I didn't screw up. I like my steak medium, and that's how I cook my steak medium.
Yeah.
So one thing that I don't consider sometimes is like at some of these restaurants, it does get cooked a little bit over what you ask. So like I cut into it, and it's still a little pink, but it's not quite where I want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start cutting into a little bit more of it, and it started getting darker, and
just
kind of, you know, the rest of the meal, I was just a little disappointed.
Yeah.
But that place,
I ordered my steak medium rare, and it was effing perfect.
That's what.
So.
Well, when I went to Anthony's a few nights later,
ooh,
the other night, and I got the
back on
catering.
Steaks, by the way, we somehow got away from.
Well, that's okay.
All right.
We went. I thought we had already talked about all
we,
that.
Yeah, we're okay. Restaurant Tyler is where we are.
Okay, so I go to Anthony's the other night, and I get medium rare. It was...
Perfect. Order your steak medium rare.
Also, force myself to not eat the rest of it so I can eat it tonight.
There you go. There you go.
I love leftovers.
All right. Anyway, pork loin, brown gravy, mashed potatoes, crawfish, and boudin. They need to let us know when they're having that special. I need to be aware so I can go eat there. Goodness gracious. Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to show you not only they're going to help you manage your money and invest, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, you have questions about your money. You need answers. You need to do that on your schedule. You need to get those answers when you want them. You can't afford to wait around. You need a bank that provides the level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Did you see my Outback tweets last night, by the way?
Yes, I did. I was
How am I?
had the itis after reading
I'm
it.
pretty sure that this is a simulation now. I should be dead.
You should be
That's
dead.
like an 8,000 calorie meal because I forgot something. I forgot I always get the grilled shrimp on the side.
And you were drinking regular Cokes.
Regular Cokes. I mean, every time the waitress came back to the table, I'd get a refill. It was always, yeah. So, I mean,
Yeah, and like,
six might have been a low number.
and not like Coke Zero is just good for you, like you say it is, but
It's like juice.
it's significantly better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing that. That's 1,000 calories in Cokes. Never mind the food. And the other thing I pointed out to somebody else was like, that was dinner. I had already eaten breakfast and lunch that day on top of probably 8, 9 more Cokes.
I've seen you eat many times. It is a sight to be
When
seen.
I'm ready, when I'm locked in, I can eat with the best.
The other day we went to Arby's. That's my
We did
go-to
stop at
spot.
Arby's. Yeah.
That's my go-to spot
I
on the
love
way
Arby's.
home. If I'm ever traveling, when I come
Arby's gives
home,
me happy thoughts.
I always go to Arby's. So Brian was we were in lockstep together about Arby's.
Arby's, yeah.
He wanted a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah,
We go
they got the
there.
new Philly cheesesteak. I
This
wanted to
whole
try.
time I'm like, yeah, Brian's gonna get the Philly cheesesteak. We stop there. Well, you saw the hot ham and cheese on there too,
I
and so
love a
you're like,
hot
I
ham and
gotta have
cheese
that.
sandwich, yeah.
So
I don't eat
I'm,
fries, so I always get to get an extra sandwich.
yeah, totally. It's like substituting fries for salad, pretty much.
It's fries are good for you.
I'm just saying. So
Now you can give me look. Go.
pulled out of the parking lot and got back on the interstate, and I have not even like grabbed a fry out of the bag yet, and Hey Dad has crumbled up both of the aluminum wrappers, and he's done. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, did you just knock that cheesesteak out? Like, no, I got both of them. So Hey Dad ate both sandwiches in a matter of 5 minutes, I would say.
Calorie content, Arby's ham and Swiss melt, 300 calories.
Oh, that may as well be a salad.
Arby's medium curly fries, 410 calories. I saved myself 110 calories by eating another sandwich rather than a medium curly, but rather than getting the combo.
I'm not judging you.
You're kind of judgy.
I wasn't judging
Okay.
you. I was just
It's
saying
fair.
it was a feat.
I ate quickly, yeah.
And Brian turned to me and said, "Buddy, this ain't the first time I've ever eaten.
Yeah. I've done it
I've
before.
done this before. I've done this a time or
I
two."
have eaten before.
We also knocked out Buc-ee's.
We did get a Buc-ee's trip in there. I didn't worry about calories last week. You can't do it on media days. It's like
It's
vacation.
vacation.
It's
It's
vacation.
vacation.
All right. Let's talk about another position. We're going to wrap up the offense today with the tight ends. And Robbie, this is one where, there was so much attention paid to the offensive line in that second portal window. And I feel like what State did at the tight end position kind of went unnoticed. They brought in two more guys. And, I
Which
think
tells you they didn't feel
they
great
didn't.
about the
And I
role.
guess we just never asked. We never asked about the tight ends. But Traore there, as Sadu Traore, he's still the guy there. I still think he can be a good weapon for Mississippi State. You saw the flashes last year. Cam Ball is the opposite of that. I just don't expect anything from Cam Ball at this point, which is crazy because I remember when he signed. I think 24/7 gave him a 4-star ranking. I was like, wow, okay, maybe he's underrated. And no. They add Max Reese from University of Indiana. I'm sorry, for Indiana University. Stefan will call me if I say University of Indiana. No, Sam West is from Indiana. I'm sorry. Where is Max Reese from?
He's from
Eastern
Eastern
Michigan.
Michigan.
Okay. So you got these two guys. I think Reese is more of the receiver type, 6'3", 250 pounds.
He has
West.
better numbers.
Yeah, West a little bit more of the blocker, 6'4", 250. Only had one catch last year, but I
He was
think
also a Richard freshman,
he's a
but.
redshirt freshman, exactly. They also added a JUCO guy. I think this was this in the later in the process that they brought in Emeka Elole?
He came in for the spring.
He was here for the spring. All
Yes.
right, from Kahoma Community College. So they've completely reshaped that room. It's still Traore as tight end one there, but it feels like they put in some options that at least A, I think they upgraded the blocking. That the tight end blocking was an issue last year. Traore is just not a good blocker. He's more of a receiver. The Ball brothers, not great blockers. Justin's obviously moved on. But I don't know if they gave themselves any better options there as far as receivers go, but I do think they improved the blocking, which was something they needed to do.
Yeah, and you have much more depth.
Yeah.
Last year you had essentially it was Sadie Troy and Justin Ball, and that was pretty much it. Cam Ball didn't really play that much. Cam Ball's interesting because he's got the body to be, impressive player in this league, 6'7", 250. But it just, judging by the fact they're going out and get more tight ends, they can't feel great about him
Right.
and about the depth behind Sadu. And then they went and got Joseph Skipworth too, a freshman tight end. So they've got the depth now that they feel like is necessary for this offense and in this league. Now it's about putting all of it together, and we'll see who kind of emerges to the top of that. But Sam West and Max Reese were both guys that they brought in the spring, very similar to what they did with the offensive line. They went out there and felt like they needed to improve the room, and that's what they felt like they did. They really liked both of these guys. Max Reese, especially, is one that he has some real experience. Last year, played a lot for Eastern Michigan, 27 catches for 232, solid for a tight end. And we'll see what he does stepping up to this level. But you're not asking these guys to come in and be superstars right away. What you did, though, is you added upside. Sam West is a player that could be really good. I feel like Max Reese could be really good, and both of these guys have multiple years left. It's a good group in terms of balance, because you got Sadu's a senior, Max Reese is a junior, Cam Ball is going to be a junior, Emeka, I think it's Low is how you pronounce it, I'm not sure. He's a junior, and then West a sophomore, Skipworth a freshman, and then they're going to bring in Adam Land for the next class. Maybe another one, I don't know. It's a like nice group as far as depth, size. And you look at the size of these guys, Sadu's probably like the skinniest guy out there, 6'4", 235. The rest of them are big meaty men, I guess you could say. Max Reese 250, Cam Ball 250, Lowe's 265, 6'9".
Nice.
Sam West 6'4", 250. Skipworth 6'5", 225 as a freshman. So it's a group that I think should be better. Sadu needs to be pushed. He needs to have somebody on his heels.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that could bring out a lot of him. And I like Sadu a lot. I think he has a tremendous potential. We saw a lot of it last year. Dropped a few passes. He made a mistake here and there, especially probably in the blocking. But 34 catches for 361 yards, that's real solid in the SEC. And I imagine he is going to be the favorite going into training camp, but at the same time, he has some guys that are going to be nipping on his heels too. So that should be an interesting room. I'm very intrigued to see what happens on both sides of the line of scrimmage, offensive and defensive line, and tight end, and maybe even wide receiver in some regard too. But those three position groups, there's so much that can happen there. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of unproven. Like, we don't know how they're going to look on this level or in this offense or defense, but there's some upside on all three of those position groups, and I think tight end is definitely one of those.
So when you look at Lebby's offense through the years, and let's go back to Ole Miss, right? So 2020, second leading receiver on the team was Kenny Yeboah, the tight end.
Yep.
Was really good for them. 27 and only played 8 games. I think he opted out at some point. 27 games, 524 yards, 6 touchdowns. So I mean, if he plays those last 2 games, he's probably around 34, 35 catches in 10 games. The next year at Ole Miss, the tight end position wasn't a huge deal. I think they expected Hudson Wolf to turn into something,
Yeah.
but injuries got the
Injuries
better of
really
him.
took him
But
over.
Casey Kelly and Chase Rogers only combined for 26 catches.
And I
With
and
two,
were
well,
both those guys kind of like walk-ons?
yeah, they. Well, I think Rogers may have been a transfer, but they just didn't get anything out of him. Lebby's first year at Oklahoma, kind of similar. Braden Willis is the second leading receiver on the team. 39 catches, 514 yards, 7 touchdowns. That's at the tight end position. Really good. The next year at Oklahoma, 2023, you don't get much out of the tight end position again. And maybe it's just the personnel thing. Austin Stogner was their tight end, 17 catches. So maybe it's just a personnel thing. You've got better tight ends, but this offense, one thing I've always noticed about it is the tight end somehow finds himself open in it. You know, if you continue to look at Ole Miss, even after Lebby's gone, Priest-Corn was really good for them these past couple of years, and he would find a way to be not only just open, but wide open so often. This offense, with the focus it puts on the running game and then the focus it puts on the vertical passing game, underneath for the tight end can be a huge thing, and Traore is a guy who can take advantage of those mismatches if he gets them. So I'm interested.
Have to be more consistent catching the ball. Going to have to be more consistent blocking. But he's got the tools.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, you could almost put him at wide out and just have a big physical wide receiver there. But at the tight end position, I think he does present some mismatch issues. So for him, I mean, again, he was the second leading receiver for the team last year. He had more catches than, you know, we talk so much about Craver and Akari. He had more catches than all those guys. He had more catches than Mosley. He had 34 for 361, just the one touchdown. I'm interested to see if he can take a leap forward. The one thing you notice here from this discussion is that they didn't have the same tight end year to year.
Yeah.
It went from Yeboah to Rogers. It goes from, I've already forgotten the Oklahoma guys, but you see what I'm saying. This is year two in the system for him. Just feels
That's one thing that Ole Miss has done well in this system is incorporate the tight end. Like, the tight end always seems open.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it was with Priest-Corn. Mm-hmm. Like, it just felt like every time you looked up, Priest-Corn was just, like, running free.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you're hoping for here. And we saw that a lot last year with Traore at times. Like, he would be open, or they would take shots down the field with him like they would with Kevin Coleman. I mean, that they used him in that way a lot. I'm interested to see what's the deal with Emeka Lowe.
Yeah.
Like, this dude looks like a trillion bucks.
He looks good coming off the bus.
And he's done virtually nothing. He didn't really do anything at Kahoma, but he was kind of converted from defensive line to tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going to happen there. Could this be like a, I don't know, Jordan Thomas was kind of a guy that kind of came from out of nowhere and you got some good things from at tight end. I kind of thought that Darian Hutchinson, I don't know if you remember him, but back in the day, he was going to be.
He started having, like, towards the end of the season that year, he became a bigger part of what Mullen was doing.
Yeah.
But then he ended up, like, going pro, didn't he? Like,
no,
something happened where he was.
He just finished it out, but he just kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
But that's like, I would love for them to have like this hidden gem that they found that ends up exploding. This guy's got that ability. 6'9", 265. You just need more of like the Benardrick McKinney and not the Kingani, you know, the guy that looks great but just never.
God, I had not thought about that person until you mentioned it.
And I mean, honestly, like
quite some time.
I think one thing that plagued him is injuries. He came to state and he immediately had to get like a shoulder surgery. He had to get, I think maybe like an ACL or something. So I would love to see what this guy's got and see if he can help Mississippi State in some way. I mean, you can't teach the size that he has, and he's got some good athletic ability too. I'm interested to see how it all shakes out.
I am as well. I am as well. I mean, if State can get, you know, I mean, quite honestly, 34 catches is a lot. I mean, they
for a tight end.
I don't know what more. When you look at State last year in the passing game, right? The numbers are kind of deceiving, right? Because if you just look at them as a whole, and you see State threw 19 touchdowns to 8 picks, that's not that bad. 2,871 yards, that's pretty good. And 58.6 completion percentage. But that's inaccurate because Chapin was at 68.5 and Van Buren was at 54.7.
I would have been really – I don't think that it changes your season drastically.
You win a couple more
with
games.
Blake Chapin.
You win a couple more games.
A lot of people have, like, lately had this idea that Chapin just was terrible in the first four
games. Yeah, it's really weird.
I don't remember ever saying this is Blake Chapin's fault.
Yeah.
And as the year went on, had the running game come along and Blake Chapin – I mean, I think that the numbers would have been –
You want my hot take?
A lot better.
You want my hot take? It's a hot take. You want it?
Go ahead.
They would have won the Egg Bowl.
Think so? If everything was the
If
same,
everything is the
Ole
exact
Miss
same,
stays the same.
everything at Ole Miss, on the Ole Miss side of things stays the same when Chapin's in there, State wins. And that's a crazy thing to
I
think.
think that's outside the realm of possibilities
But, I
at
mean,
all.
Van Buren had them in position a couple of times
Couldn't score.
and couldn't score. I mean, he missed some open receivers on the short throws. If you go back and listen to my interview with Chapin, I asked him about short
Threw a pick
throws.
early in the game.
Yeah, a bad one.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
There are a
And
lot of.
any Ole Miss fan is like, that's BS. You guys lost to Kentucky. Anything was possible. All right.
Yeah, true.
So.
There are a lot of people that cover college football that they think that Blake Chapin's going to be a surprise for Mississippi State this year.
Yeah, I could see it.
And, not in a way that, he leads state to 7 wins,
Right.
but better than a lot of people think. He's
Right,
kind of
right,
an
right.
under the radar guy. He carries himself, quiet confidence, I would say. He's not boisterous. You don't really see him posting on social media. He kind of just comes to work every day. I don't know if anybody's ever seen him working out, but the guy is throwing with his teammates constantly and building a relationship with the offensive line and things like that. Great leader. And I think he's a lot better quarterback than people give him credit for. So we'll see what happens. I think he helps that tight end group this year too.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I think Van Buren knew his strength was the deep ball, so he threw it a lot. And I think Chapin is a guy who can get through those progressions a little bit better and find the tight end. I agree. I think I don't. But that's the interesting thing is I don't know how much better Trier will be statistically,
Yeah.
because of the way this offense works.
But it could look a lot different with him out there. Like, things could look a lot
It could
different.
look a lot different.
It
Yeah, could be some more of those big plays that we're talking about.
yeah, just because the numbers aren't the same this year,
Yeah.
they could be.
Could have 34 catches, but make it 425 yards, something like that.
Yeah, and he could be a better blocker down the field and
Yeah,
things like that.
that would be very good.
I mean, he's shown spurts and moments. Like, I remember the first game of the season, they fumbled it like 3 times and
Yeah.
he popped on it every single time.
Yeah, he was just around the ball.
Like you see it with him. It's not like he's incapable of doing it. It's just like you need to put together consistency, both in the in you know run block or whatever downfield blocking. He's just got to be more consistent. And he's got to catch the football. He's got to make smart decisions and not throw the ball in the stands and things like that. And I think he'll have a good season. He's still my favorite to win that job.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. But I'm interested to see how they shuffle the guys around. What does the depth chart look
It's
like?
never a bad thing to have that depth.
And that's true about, we've been talking a lot about with baseball with that, right? About how, what are we gonna do with all these guys? I mean, I'd rather have the options than not.
Yeah.
But same thing with football here. Like, yeah, there's a lot of names in this tight end room. There's a lot of names. Nothing's really seen. If you told me right now to fill you out a depth chart, the only three guys I would for sure put on there as starters are Chapin, Booth, and Traore.
Yeah.
But behind them, yeah, you gotta have more options than you had a season ago. You just didn't have those. So we'll see where it takes them. All right, we will switch over to the defensive side of the ball on later this week. I know you're excited.
Yay.
All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District and the Older Brother. Two fantastic restaurants right there within a stone's throw of each other. The Cotton District is the place to be in the city of Starkville. So many great options down there, but the best two are Two Brothers and the Older Brother. You just can't go wrong at either one of them. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal in the city of Starkville, the place to go, Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. All businesses like to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. All right. Okay.
I'm good.
You're
That's the
in.
sound I made when I saw the bill with Bone the other night.
Thankfully, we didn't have to pay that.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, I always like to sneak a peek. I think I may have made the noise. I may have been.
Ran up a tab.
Yeah, we did. That's all right. We worked hard. This is what somebody asked me like about that. I was like, is what I do hard? No, but if it's what I define as work, this is my job. This is my work. I worked hard at Media Days.
Well, I was thinking about that.
I
Like,
didn't
I
do
left
hard
the,
work, but I worked hard. Does that make sense?
yeah, I mean, I left the hotel that morning at like 7:30
Uh-huh.
and got back to the hotel at like 7 p.m. or whatever. You know, that's a long day, even if
I was
it's.
downstairs at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long.
And I didn't, and we
And y'all
finished.
are doing interviews most of the
We
day,
weren't on the show till
constantly.
7. So
Yeah. I
yeah. Yeah.
mean, that's a long day,
It's a long
man.
day.
And
Yeah.
whatever job
Again,
you're doing,
not hard work, but I worked hard.
it's still mentally
It's
taxing.
mentally taxing. Yeah. We say all that to say that if you need a new copier or printer, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. They'll take care of you. They'll get you a great deal on a great product, but more importantly, they give you great service after the fact. Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Okay.
Just felt like it.
Do you need new Mississippi State gear? Are you in the Starkville area? Well, great news. We've got a place for you to go. It's the best place in town. They've got a bigger and better selection than anybody else. That is Maroon & Co. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white, under one roof or under one website, maroonandco.com. And both places are where you can use our promo code to save yourself a little money. Take 15% off regular price with our code THUNDER15. 15% off. I mean, every dollar counts. So do it at Maroon & Co., maroonandco.com. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to the Maroon & Co. It's hot out there this weekend, so you don't want to be on the lawn any longer than you have to. You need some John Deere power to make that job a little easier, and you can get it with our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. John Deere commercial mowers, compact tractors, and gators are all available with low financing and in some cases up to 0%. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, if you're in the yard, in the garden, if you're cooking out, if you got some projects you got to get done, or if you just want to get out on the water, whatever it is you like to do, they've got it for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They have what you want for less at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. SEC released the all-SEC team and the predicted order of finish. No surprise to me that Isaac Smith, the only player available for Mississippi State as a third-team defensive back. As I noticed this. I don't know if I brought it up, Robbie. Smith was the only player that you could vote for at two positions.
Yeah, that
Other
was
than
interesting.
like the AP player or stuff like that, kick returner. In terms of just a position, you could vote Isaac Smith as a linebacker or as a defensive back. I asked him about that, and he kind of gave the same answer we've been hearing. Like, I'll be in some situations, I'll be close to the line. In some situations, I'll play back. That's fine. Thought that was weird. I voted him second team personally. No other Bulldogs made the team. I did vote Devon Booth second team as well. I also voted, and I've already forgotten his name. Whoever states long, every year I just vote states long snapper first team. Because I'm like, it's the long snapper. Like,
I picked up a transfer, and the guy from UT Chattanooga.
maybe so. I don't even remember his name. My
I might be
apologies.
wrong on
Let me see if I can find the roster here. But I was surprised that Booth didn't get a look. He is, I think, the third leading returning rusher in the SEC. But he plays for the team that was predicted dead last, and that's where they were, 16th.
Ethan Myers,
After, yeah, that's who I voted for.
UT Chattanooga.
So, state 16th. I had state 15th. I didn't have them last. I am off the bandwagon for Vanderbilt. I am of a Vanderbilt regresses back to its
See, I
normal
think
self.
Vandy could be better than Kentucky. I
That
think
I mean
Kentucky's gonna be bad.
that's fine. I just don't buy into Vandy doing it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I understand
They
that.
won't. I think if you look at last year, there's a lot. It's an outlier, and so. But that's a story for another day. With this
I
Mississippi
just
State
think
team,
Pavia being what he
he helps
is,
them a
he's really
lot,
tough.
but he doesn't have a lot around him. I'm telling you, last year, they should never have beaten Alabama.
But a lot of that is the
A
quarterback.
lot of that was the quarterback. This year, that won't be the case. Alabama will be ready.
Yeah.
So same with Virginia Tech. I just don't see them going up to Virginia Tech and winning. So we'll see, though. For Mississippi
You want for
State,
him?
no surprise that they're 16th, I guess. I guess that's just kind of where they are right now. It's just going to have to be. We talked for years about how State was perpetually underrated at
Yeah.
these things. Now it's going to be where it's going to be people just voting them last, and
By default,
you're
yeah.
going to have to go through another 4 or 5 years of being good to get them back to where they're underrated again.
Yeah, and again, another year where I'm begging the SEC to publicize who is voting for who. Because every single year we have two people that vote for Vanderbilt first. And if you're somebody that does this, and I can only assume it's because you're trying to be funny, and you're because you cannot be that stupid. There's no way that you can be in this field and you in your mind are saying, this could be Vandy's year. This could be
Right. You're just doing it as
just doing
a
it for
joke.
giggles.
Right.
So from here on out, your name is going to be published. So and so voted Vanderbilt first.
Right.
So we know that you're either a moron or you're doing it for fun and you're not taking it serious. Because what this does is it now tells the fans that the media doesn't, they're just playing a joke on us and they're just doing this for fun. Why are we publicizing this all conference team as something that's supposed to be reputable when we have people that are voting for Vanderbilt first?
Right.
Some of which might not even be able to get credentialed to go to a regular football game, but they're getting credentialed to go to this event,
Yes.
which is another a thing for another day. We have people standing up at the press conference asking questions that can't get credentialed to go to an actual game,
Right.
but they can come to media days. So
Correct.
just about anybody can come to this, just like just about anybody can vote. So I always put very little stock into this all-SEC team preseason.
I always put stock into mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Like,
you
'cause I
know,
know that I'm doing my job. So I'm
this is
trying
the
to.
first time where I look at it and I'm like, you know, if states voted last, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, they were
Who did you vote first?
Texas.
Texas. I went LSU.
I think Texas is going to win. I'm not that high on LSU.
I am high on the Tigers.
I think they'll be good, but I don't think they're SEC champions good. I can't give Brian Kelly that kind of credit.
I just think that, I mean, they recruit. It's kind of interesting.
You're always going to recruit well.
Well,
I mean,
I'm talking about in the portal. This is the first time they really got do well in the portal. And you know why they did that? Because they didn't sign Bryce Underwood. If they had signed Bryce Underwood, they were going to have to give him like $5 or $6 million.
yeah, they had money.
And so they were just like, all right, we'll spend that money on this team.
Well, and also, I think Brian Kelly feels like he's under fire a
There's some
little bit
heat, yeah.
because he started talking about we want kids want to be here and.
So at the end of media days, Richard asked me for my SEC hot take. I want to hear yours. What is your this upcoming season? What is your hot take? Your hottest prediction?
I've seen a lot of people hyping up Texas A&M,
Okay.
and I guess it's not a hot take, but I'm not on that
Is it Texas
bandwagon.
8-4 again?
Yeah, I saw today somebody said that Texas A&M is a sleeper pick for the SEC championship. I'm like, how many times are we gonna do this? Are we gonna do this every year until the end of time? Like what? Like w will we never learn? Only one year did I actually say, okay, I think that A&M's gonna be good this year. That's the only time I did it, and it was the year that Jimbo Fisher was fired. So I will not do that again until they actually win something of substance.
Okay.
So that's I don't know if that's a hot take, but I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would consider.
Mine was that Kalen DeBoer will be fired at the end of the year.
Ooh. What I mean, what's he got to do to get fired? Eight
Miss the
wins.
playoff. Just miss the playoff.
He'll
You
get
can't,
fired.
you can't, you, we cannot go from a world where Alabama made the playoff basically every year when there were four teams. To the first 2 years of 12 teams are not making it. We cannot live in that world.
Well, what about LSU? What
He could be
what's
in trouble too, but I had LSU winning the conference, so I
but if
obviously, as we sit here today, I don't believe that.
hypothetically
Well, then he'd be in trouble.
missing the playoff,
Yeah, he'd be in trouble.
this is his
He'd be in
most
more
talented
trouble.
team.
He'd be in more trouble than DeBoer would be,
Yeah.
because that's 4 years of them not being in the playoff.
I mean, Ed Orgeron won a national
Ed
championship.
Orgeron and Les Miles won national titles. Yeah, you can't. But.
Literally everybody wins a national championship at
Right. But
LSU now.
because I have LSU predicted to win the conference, I can't sit here on July 20th and say, but their coach is going to get fired.
Yeah.
I can't. But I can say that about Alabama. I just
I wish I
think,
would have thought about this, about my hot take.
well, that's the thing I wanted to get. What's the gut tell you? Yeah, just what's in your gut. Yeah. Tell me. Get in there all nice and deep, like, yeah.
Get in there, boy.
Get in there, boy.
I don't know.
I mean,
So,
A&M is getting a lot of hype.
they are, and I just don't
It
get
just
it.
depends on who you ask. I think where they finished, they were predicted like eighth, but there's some of this talk of like, you know, they could.
What happens with Ole Miss this year? Ole Miss had arguably the most talented team they've ever had, and they lost three games. And
It's very
they
fair.
are is there are people talking enough about the fact that they've lost as much as they
So
did.
I asked that question a bunch. I asked like two or three different people. Like, you know, normally when Ole Miss, a team like Ole Miss, and you can say this about Mississippi State, South Carolina, Missouri, the teams that are in the middle, right? If you lose a 3-year starter at quarterback,
Who some people say is the best I've ever had.
right? If you lose your,
Stats wise, he
yeah,
was.
if you lose your start, I mean, Bentley was their best running back. You lose your best receiver, Trey Harris, right? You lose. What, six or seven, eight guys off that defense? Great guys, not just Jags, real elite players.
And that was a generational defensive
Right.
lineman.
So you lose all those guys. Normally, we'd bet Ole Miss, we'd be like, man, they're gonna take a big step back. They're gonna be like a 4-win team this year. They got to rebuild. But we're not saying that. We're still saying this is a top 20 team, and I think they are because I really believe in Simmons. I think he's an elite talent. But there is a world, we'll just stay in the hypotheticals, where, like you said, they lost three games with their best team ever. There's a world where they lose five or six this year, you know, where they lose to Georgia and LSU and to South Carolina. Yeah, that's not going to be an easy game. And then, you know, looking at their schedule, week two at Kentucky. Kentucky is not an easy place to play. They lost to them last year. This is Simmons' first real test on the road. Could it happen? I don't know. Possibly. At Oklahoma, that's not a gimme game by any stretch of the imagination. Florida comes to Oxford, that's not a gimme game. So yeah, there's a world where Ole Miss is 7-5 or something like that.
I think that Austin Simmons is going to be really good.
I do too. That's why I think they're
I
th
just
I didn't
don't.
vote them low.
I just I trust certain coaches when it comes to quarterback
Yeah, but that's
evaluation.
one.
I think that Jeff Lebby knows what he's doing. I think that obviously Lane Kiffin knows what he's doing when it comes to quarterbacks. And the fact that they didn't go out and try to get somebody else, that tells me that they're seeing something that's probably spectacular.
I interviewed Greg McElroy a few weeks back, and he thinks that the ceiling on Simmons is as high as anybody in the conference.
He's a very, apparently he already has a degree.
Yeah, this kid, this
I
is a,
mean,
this is the kind of kid that I know. Ole Miss fan, you're a state fan,
we're not trying to hype him up, but like
but he does feel like the kid like you like your daughter to date. Like
yeah.
he's smart. He's a great athlete. He seems to be a really good kid. I mean, McElroy made a good point that it's a guy who was throwing 95
Yeah.
playing baseball, so
He
you
pitched
know the
against
arm
Mississippi
strength's there.
State as a 17-year-old or
Yeah, so
whatever.
you know the arm strength is certainly there.
Yeah, well, yeah,
So,
we had this conversation coming back. Like, I think the them being picked where they are is probably respect for
For Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't know. There's a lot
But
of questions. There's a
there's
lot of questions there. So
you
that's a
made the point though.
possibility.
You said it. Like they lost three games with their most talented team ever. Why would they win more than that? Why would they be equal to that? You
The
know,
defense to me is the biggest thing
we're gonna
because,
find out about those Mississippi kids,
yeah.
Franklin
Well,
and Rush, Xavier. Yeah.
They pretty much put their
Eckers.
eggs in that basket
Yeah.
to develop those guys
If
in
that doesn't
terms of.
work, that's a problem. So we'll see.
So yeah, I think there's so much that can happen this year. I think it's a lot like, last year that the SEC was just so loaded, and it's kind of like basketball. This year might not be, it might be a little more, not watered down, but a little more even playing field. Like in basketball, I think it's going to be a lot more even. I think football is going to be like that. There's a lot that can happen in the SEC. I don't know if there's a clear-cut favorite. I think Texas is probably the team that I would hold above everybody else right now because their schedule is fairly easy by SEC standards. Georgia, I don't think we're talking as much about Georgia as we used to. So that it'd be interesting to see what happens with there.
Yeah.
Tennessee,
Andy Staples had a good point about
you think
Georgia.
Tennessee has a chance to struggle?
They do. They absolutely do. Andy Staples said about Georgia, they could go undefeated or they could miss the playoff.
Yeah.
Like, because,
Last year they could have done that.
yeah, Kirby said it. It's like, I think he said more than half of his starting lineup will be new players. And, like, I'm not going to cry for them. But at the same time, I mean, there's a difference between a reason and an excuse. That's a reason. When you have
Well,
that
and
many
that's
new
what you're going to
players.
see. I think gone
Not
are
at
the.
Georgia though, they don't hit the portal as much.
Yeah, but I think, but they will lose guys that don't want to lose
Yeah.
more than they did.
Yeah.
I think gone are the days where you have true dynasties, where you have
Probably, yeah.
Alabama for 15 years is ruling college football, Georgia, UConn women, UCLA men from the 70s. I just don't think it's going to happen much anymore. Because every year, teams are losing players they wanted to keep. They're changing the rosters. you're not always going to have the same team year to year. You're not able to develop like you used to be able to develop. I think that we're going to start losing some of these dynasties, these teams, these programs that were 14-1, 15-0,
Yeah.
13-2, 14-1,
They're going to start to have at least one down year in the
9-4.
cycle. They're going to have a nine win
There will be
year.
a year where Georgia goes 9-4.
And we're talking about that like a down year. I
That's a
mean,
down year.
that's a down year for them. It is.
Yep.
So
So that I think that's going to be more the case now. You
I
just
agree.
you can't predict it year to year.
Plenty to talk about. We are, as you're listening today on a Monday, we are 10 days away from the start of preseason camp, as Jeff Lebby told us, July 31st.
We're 40 days away
The first
from
game.
the first game
Yeah.
in Hattiesburg. You and I will be sitting in the press box in Hattiesburg for that one. We will be eating at Crescent City Grill that night.
We will. We
We'll be
will.
eating at the
Watching football.
Midtowner on Sunday morning.
Yeah. A lot of football to be watched. So
Yes.
we'll do it. All right, guys. Have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.